Luke chapter 12, as we've taken a look here, the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with that innumerable multitude, as it says there in verse number 1, speaks to them of hypocrisy, speaks to them about the things heard that have been said in darkness will be heard in the light. He speaks to them about who to be afraid of. He speaks to them about confession of the Lord before men and the Lord's confession of his children before the angels and before God. He speaks there about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. In verse number 11 and 12, he speaks about utterance of the word when necessary, when we might be brought before those that we give an account of what the Lord has done for us. He'll help with that. He goes on here to speak about covetousness, and as a man that came and wanted his brother to share the inheritance that his brother received, being the oldest, it seems. The Lord speaks a parable here about a rich man who is living life for himself and trusting in the wrong thing. And he says in verse number 21 that he that layeth up treasure for himself is not going to be rich toward God. In verse number 22, the Lord speaks unto them. He says, life is more than eaten, and the body is more than what you put on. The Lord is going to give you those things that you need. He says, as we took a look, he says, the Lord's not saying not to work. The Lord's saying, don't fret over it. Go ahead and work. Apply yourself. Ask for the Lord's help and blessing. But don't put your stock in the things of life. Don't put your hope in the things of life. He says in verse number 28, he says, oh, he will clothe us, we of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith, he says there. Verse 29, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. That's the issue at hand. He goes on and says here in verse number 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Be looking for that. Apply yourself to that in every whit of life. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need will be added unto you. And he says here, he makes a promise, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Lord is going to, God's not going to die, and so he's going to give out the inheritance in advance, and he's going to take the whole kingdom and give it to his people. That's what the Lord has in store. He said it. We didn't say it. He said it. He says here, sell that you have and give alms. Be willing to give. Be willing to give of that which the Lord has given you. Provide a treasure in the heavens, because there moth doesn't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. And he wraps up, we saw last time in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? There is where your heart is. What is it that you consider? What is it that you think about? What is it that you apply yourself to the most? And I find it very interesting that after the Lord has spoken about these things of life, he's spoken to them about these different things of life and what brought us to this passage and its consideration the last couple Sundays is this in verse number 20, where the Lord calls in this soul and says, you've been a fool. This parable that he gives, it is a parable. He says, you've been a fool. You've put your trust in the wrong thing. You've not put it in someone. He said, you've lived life for yourself. Who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He says, the Lord says in verse number 20, the stuff of life is going to go on to the next center. For them to use it well before the Lord or not. And so the Lord has spoken about these things of life, and then he comes to this subject in verse number 35. He begins to deal with the people here, and this is what we want to see this morning. Let your loins be girded about, verse 35, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for your people. Father, they've been faithful to come and assemble themselves together here at this appointed time for worship and your church here that you've placed. And Lord, we thank you for each and every member of the church and each one that's come. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us together. Lord, that we continue to worship you. And Lord, as we look into your word, Father, that this just wouldn't be a storybook that we look into and we hear some nice and sweet things that are spoken to us, Father. But Lord, help us that we'd understand that it is the word of God. And Lord, that you're speaking to us straight and you're telling us the truth, Father. And Lord, help us that we would hear what you have to say to us, that we would believe you in what you say, and Lord, that we would trust you in it, and we'd be about the business that you'd have us to do. Lord, we thank you for the past week and for using Brother Billy to teach us and preach to us, Father, about being a witness to this lost and dying world round about us. Help us, Father, to take those things and apply them to our lives. Help us, Father, not to be lazy here in the fourth or in the third and fourth watch, Father, but help us, Lord, to be diligent about pursuing your kingdom, that we would seek your kingdom first. Oh, Father, help us, I pray, that we would seek and have a desire and a love and a care to seek your kingdom first. Lord, help us that we might hear the admonition of your word, Father, that we might be ready to go when you call. And Lord, help us in that. And for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that you might speak to them, that they might, their eyes and hearts would be open, Lord, to the reality that in the condition that they're in, they are not ready to go, Father. They need Jesus Christ as Savior. And we pray, Father, that you would show them that and that you would save their souls. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, he says here, after having dealt with the multitude there, speaking to his disciples in the midst of the multitude and others, all those there that in the Lord's hearing have heard, he says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about. Be ready for work. Be ready to go. Don't be in a relaxed state. Don't be caught over there in your pajamas. But get your loins girded up." When it talks about the girding of the loins, it's talking about getting ready for work, getting ready to go. Let your loins be girded about. Let your lights be burning, and your lights burning, a witness, a ready to work, a ready to witness for the Lord. Looking, what's he say here? He goes on to say in verse 36, "And ye yourselves like unto men, that be like unto this." Like unto this. Be like unto this. "And you yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord." They're waiting when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Not, "I'm coming, Lord. Hang on, I got to get my pants on. I got to get my shirt on. I got to get my skirt on. I got to get my blouse on. I got to get out of bed here. I got to wake up from my nap. But be ready to go and open up that door when the Lord comes. And be ready for it." He says, the Lord says, "Be that way that you may open unto him immediately." That when the Lord Jesus Christ, for his children, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the clouds, we might look up to the Lord after hearing that great trump sound, and we might say, "Yes, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. I'm not ashamed that you're coming, but I'm ready to go with you, and I'm ready to be with you." Be ready. Be ready immediately. Not be found sinning. Not be found off being delinquent from the house of God. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord Jesus Christ can come back right now? And there are those of our number that are not here. Some maybe are sick. The Lord knows that. Some may be goofing off.
Right.
Some may be sleeping. At home or here. And the trump sound, you know you're going to hear it. But what if you didn't hear it? You know, I think it's a very sad thing as I consider about the message that one day, is there going to come a day, one day, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. He's going to come back one day. And then the service times at Olmsted Baptist Church are going to roll around again. And there's going to be people that are going to pull up in the parking lot. Is that going to be you? Do you have the Lord as your Savior? "Blessed are those servants," verse 37, "whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." Now, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He says, when I find those servants like that are there to receive me immediately, I'm going to have them sit down, and I'm going to come and serve them. I'm going to come serving and serve them. He says in Matthew chapter 26, take a look over here, Matthew 26. The Lord Jesus Christ here with his church and here having established the Lord's Supper. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 26. Is your engagement and involvement in the Lord's Supper and observing the Lord's Supper all about the ceremony and the preparation for it and the getting this together and getting that together and the quote-unquote moving and mysteriousness and this, that, and the other? Is that what the Lord's Supper is about to you? Or is it about remembering your Savior and what He did for you on Calvary? Yeah. Is it about the operation of it and getting every little the step and every little move right? Or is it about remembering Jesus and what He's done for you? Is it about that communion with the Lord? Or is it about the doing of the stuff? You see what I'm saying? It's a subtle mind that's there. But then that supper, our fellowship is with the Lord. The bread that the Lord had, they listened to the Lord and what He had to say about it, but their fellowship was with Him, not with the bread. The bread reminds us of Him.
Right.
When He gave them the cup, it wasn't that they were all enthralled about the cup. They took the cup at the Lord's instruction, but they were interested in Him.
Amen.
And there at the supper here in Matthew chapter 26, when the Lord is there, He says in verse number 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He's not partaking of that until His people are with Him. He's going to make Himself ready, and He's going to serve those that He finds watching, those that He finds faithful. He's going to serve His people. That's the indication that we get. It's what He has said. Back in Luke 12, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. Or if He come in the third watch, midnight to 3 a.m. You know, I wonder if that isn't some of our problem. It's getting late. It's getting late in the coming of the Lord. And it's getting darker. Are we getting sleepier? Are our eyes getting heavier? Are our heads getting heavy and it's hard to hold them up? And we're just not found. We've been blessed with so much provision of life. So many things that we've been provided by the Lord. It's been His blessing unto us. And we're just distracted from pursuing the kingdom first. He says the ones that He finds waiting in that second watch late at night or that third watch early in the morning and find them so watching. He says He finds them watching. Blessed, happy, touched by God are those servants. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Or has an apathy and a complacency about things continuing as they always have since Granddaddy and Great-Granddaddy were here and the Lord hadn't come yet? Have we just been lulled in just a complacency and an apathy and not looking for the Lord? May God help us.
Amen.
May God help us and hear this warning that the Lord gives. Verse number 39, "And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through." How many of us, if we were told that the robber is coming at 3:23, I'd set my alarm for 2:23, might not even sleep the night. You know you would too, and then you'd be ready. Wouldn't you? Robber's coming tonight at 4:05. Wouldn't you be ready?
Amen.
The Lord's coming back any time.
Right.
Are you ready to go? Am I ready to go? Are we ready to go? He said, if the man, the goodman of the house, would have known when the thief comes, he'd be ready for him. Both barrels. Right? Are we ready for the Lord to come? Are we? The Lord's talked about the stuff of life. But then He's talking now to us about being ready to go. "Be ye," verse number 40, "be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not." He won't come then. You know, somewhere it's going to be the middle of the night when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and somewhere it's going to be morning. Somewhere it's going to be afternoon. And all in between. Somewhere it's going to be that way. It's going to be, what time will it be when the Lord comes? What time is it that we least expect him? Verse 41, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? Who are you talking to, Lord? Peter says, I need clarification, Lord. Are you speaking to everybody or are you speaking to us? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ does here is he goes and he speaks unto all. And the Lord said, listen, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? What is it that the Lord has said in verse number 32? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is he going to give the kingdom to those that are not his? No. So then the Lord says, who is that faithful and wise steward? What's he look like? How can you tell who he or she is? The one that God's going to make ruler over his household. And he says, and give them their portion of meat in due season. Do you remember what the Lord just said? When the Lord comes and he finds his people faithful, he's going to come and gird himself and have them sit down to meat. So who is that good steward? Who is that wise steward that's faithful in the household of the Lord, that has taken the charge and received the charge that his Lord has given him, and he loves the Lord, and he believes the Lord, he trusts the Lord, and he's about what the business that the Lord's given him. Who is that one that the Lord, when he finds so doing, he's going to give him his meat at his own table, that the Lord himself is going to serve him? Who is that? See that there? See how that is? Peter says, you speaking to us or you speaking to everybody? The Lord says, okay, let's discern it. Let's go ahead. And the Lord is speaking to all, because there could be those that aren't watching, right? There will be those that won't sit down to meet. There are those that won't be served by the Lord. There are those that won't be faithful in watching for the coming of their Lord. Let's see what he says here. He said, who is it? How do you know that he is there? Verse number 43, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Well, isn't that what he said in verse 42? Said, who is then that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make him ruler over his household? Verse 44, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath when he finds him watching. What he said up in verse number 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom.
Amen.
So who is he? When the Lord finds him, when the Lord comes and he sees him there, he's going to make him ruler over all that he has. Verse 45, but this is the reason that I say that this portion of passage is the Lord. Peter says, are you talking to us or are you talking to everybody? The Lord goes ahead and he's talking to all right now. He says, blessed is that servant, verse 43, verse 45. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and maidens, and to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's the reason it's written, that this portion is written to all. You've got the blessed steward that's watching, and you've got the one that's been granted life that says, my life, I'm going to do what I want to with it. I don't believe the gospel. I don't believe the word of the Lord. I don't believe in God. I'm living my life my way. Take a look at this and consider this. With what we just read here in verses 41 through 46, is it not another way to say what the Lord said here in Matthew 10? Take a look at this. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Isn't what the Lord has said here in verses 41 through 46, isn't that saying the same thing? He's just saying it a different way. The servant that is there, and understand this is a parable. And in parables and in these things that the Lord tells about his kingdom and the operation of the kingdom, no particular one is all-inclusive of everything that's going to happen in the kingdom. It's referring to a piece and a part of the operation of the kingdom of God. So understand that. You're not going to find every parable, and you're not going to find every reference to the kingdom chock full with every whit of everything about how the kingdom operates. Okay? But the principle here is the stuff of life, having your trust in the wrong thing, and then looking for the Lord. Has not the Lord commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel? Has not God created mankind to honor and glorify His name? That's right. Do men do it? No, they don't. But isn't that the expectation of the Lord? It is. So now, are you using your life, are you living your life for you? Or are you living your life for the Lord? See, the one that's saved is to be living their life for the Lord. That's only the way that we can, isn't it? He that will find his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Look over here in Matthew 16. Let's read here. The Lord says a very similar again, Matthew 16, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. How do you lose your life for the Lord's sake? We're talking about a work salvation? No, we're talking about obedience. Obedience.
Amen.
Sinners are to obey the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners, every man, woman, boy, or girl is to obey that, to believe that, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not all do they? Not all do. And when they don't, they're responsible, aren't they?
Right.
Indeed. Indeed. You can't put it off on anything. Let's go on and read here in Mark chapter 8. Take a look here. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Mark 8, 35. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord did. That steward that has been given life and been given a charge by his Lord, that steward, that one that is there, that servant, that one that has been given life and been given the Word of God and the instruction of the Word of God, those that are there and believe are faithful in believing what the Lord says, aren't they? They are there. They've believed. They've repented. They've trusted in Christ. The Lord saved their soul. And they hang on every word of what the Lord says. He is important to them because He's rescued them.
Amen.
They're living their life for who? For Him.
Right.
They said, I've given up on self. Isn't that what the sinner does when they repent? They said, my way is the way of death. My way will not work. I can't save myself. I can't provide an atonement, a payment for my sin. I cannot provide my own righteousness. I need the righteousness of Christ. The Lord works in them, saves them. They don't live a life. We're not living a life for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Not supposed to be.
Right.
We've yielded up what we say is right. And we've yielded to and believe what the Lord says is right. But the sinner without Christ, what do? Live my way, do my own thing, sleep when I want to, get awake when I want to. I won't heed the word of God because it don't mean a lick to me. I want to do this my way. That's what the Lord said here. And He goes ahead and adds here, I find interesting, for the Gospels. He says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Isn't that what this in Luke 12 has been all about? Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Look over in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John 12, verse number 25. John 12, 25. Here, the wording of the Lord is different. Verse number 23, let's back up. John 12, 23, Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if I die, it bringeth, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." Boy, that got even stronger, didn't it? Hate your life. The Lord wants you to be abusive to yourself? Does the Lord want you to kill yourself? No. No. But our love for the Lord should pale in comparison. Our love for the Lord should pale in comparison. You know, our love for self should pale in comparison for our love for the Lord. Our love for ourselves should be way down here, and our love for the Lord should be supreme.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Back in Luke 12. He speaks this to all, what we read in verses 41 through 45. He makes this contrast between that blessed servant that's looking for his Lord and finds him obedient when he comes, and that servant that says in his heart, "I'm going to live my life my way. I'm going to beat the other ones. I'm going to be drunken. I'm going to satisfy myself." Isn't that what the rich man was doing? Was he not living for himself? Nothing wrong with growing crops, is there? Nothing wrong with taking it in. Nothing wrong with building barns. But what's wrong is trusting in it. What's wrong is living life for self. Because the Lord says you live your life for yourself, you're going to end up me denying you. Yeah. Yeah, just get over it. That's what he's saying. And then we see here that this one that is found, verse 46, "And the Lord of that servant, when he come in a day, when he looketh not for him, and the hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Where's that? Brothers and sisters, that's hell and lake of fire. Just get over it. That's where it is. The servant that is found faithful, the Lord's going to gird himself and serve. But that one that is not found faithful, the unbeliever, the wicked sinner, away from Christ, is going to hell. It's going to hell. Are you ready to go? Peter says, "Are you speaking to us, Lord, or to all?" The Lord speaks to all. Verse 47, now he speaks to children. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." I've told you, brothers and sisters, that it will be, the scripture bears out, and here's a case where it is. Now, the servant that has been obedient, that is looking, but has been slack, is not going to be cut up and appointed a place with unbelievers, but is going to be chastised. You know what? I think we've got an attitude in our day and amongst the people of God that claim to be saved and of the people of God that say, if I slide by without chastisement in this life, if I just go ahead and get through this life without chastisement or slip under the radar, so to speak, once I go on to be in glory with the Lord, it just won't be that bad. Listen, our soul is secure forever, but to appear at the judgment seat of Christ, having disobeyed our Lord willfully, is very, very serious. Our soul's not in jeopardy. But to face your Savior, for me to face my Savior who hung on that cross for me being guilty, him being innocent, and to stand there face to face and give an account of my life. Let's take a look at a few scriptures here. Here, the Lord speaks to children in Hebrews 10. You know this, I trust. If you don't, we'll read it quickly. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, listen what the apostle speaks to these that are here. Verse number 26 of Hebrews 10, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." Won't devour us, because we'll be given a body to endure that cleansing, that chastening, that refining that the Lord is going to accomplish in us in that last day. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses, and that was serious. Children of God, Israelites that disobeyed, died. Of how much sorer punishment, he says, the apostle says, this will be worse. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was set apart, sanctified, an unholy thing, and done despite under the Spirit of grace. This is not talking to people that are not saved. This is talking to the saved and willful sin. We know it's wrong, but we go ahead and do it to suit ourselves. We know the Master is coming, but we did not do, as it says over here in Luke 12:47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will. That's what it says in Luke 12:47. Do you know? See, you and I, as children, we're responsible for what we've had benefit and privilege to know and to learn. Not just what we've learned. Because there are those that are the children of God that go and take about issues and put their heads under the sand and say, if I don't know, I won't be accountable. If you had the opportunity, you will be. If you had the opportunity, you will be. If you heard it, you saw it, you heard it in the Word of God coming to us, the preaching of God's Word. So we are accountable for it. And Hebrews 10:29, of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who trod underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Scripture says, don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Why? Because we can, by sin in our lives. Verse 30. For ye know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. Why does it say that there? Because the Lord will. And he will refine us. And he will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. And he'll bring that which is precious on and to be with him. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Why is there good listed? Because there'll be those things that we'll be obedient in. Why is bad listed? Because there'll be those things that knowing the Lord's will, we disobeyed in. Turn over to back over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 8. Verse number 6, rather. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We don't think about that word scourging, do we? But that's talking about really putting the licking on. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. And he goes on to explain about the chastisement that is there from our own fathers and how they did so while we were under their care. Back in Luke 12. Back in Luke 12. Peter says, Lord, are you speaking to us or to all? The Lord goes ahead and he speaks to all. He makes the contrast between that one that believes and hears the Lord, and that one that discounts totally what he says. He tells about the portion, and he goes on here and speaks about children in verses 47 and 48. And he said, there is chastisement, there is rebuke, there is correction from this life all the way to the judgment seat of Christ for the children of God. Some beaten with many stripes, some beaten with few, but not one of them cut up and appointed a portion with the unbelievers. Amen? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Verse number 49. Now the Lord speaks about division. Am I come to send fire on the earth? And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? The Lord is, He is charged. He is in this baptism that He speaks of here. It's the baptism of suffering. The baptism of death that He's going to endure for His people. He's going to go through it. So you and I can be saved. So you and I, we that are here and saved, and know that the Lord will call, so we can be cleansed. Amen. So we can be helped. So we can have those sins washed away. So we can appear before the Lord in His glory and be there with Him for eternity. He's in a strait. He wants to get it done. But He's held there by time. Oh, until He says there, and it's an exclamation point that's there, isn't it? He says, oh, I'm in a strait till it be accomplished. I want to do it. I want to get it done for my people. Oh, I'm in a strait for it. I'm weary of being here. And I'm weary of sin having a hold upon my people. I want to get this done. And what's He go on to say? Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth. Isn't that what it says? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Well, in receiving Christ, there is. But His message doesn't bring peace. It brings peace for sinners that'll receive Him.
Amen.
But it puts them in a strait with those that don't want anything to do with the Word of the Lord. He says, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth, I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He's mentioned before in verses 42 and 46 and 47 and 48, there is a division and a difference between sinners and saints, between sinners and children. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? There is that is there. And then in verse number 54, He speaks of discernment. He's spoken to all. He's spoken to children. He's spoken about division. And now He speaks about discernment. Listen. And He said, also to the people. This is going to everybody. He said this to everybody, and He said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that ye do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of your own selves, yea, and why even of your own selves judge ye not what is right? And tell all things about the weather and the way things work on this earth. But speaking to all, He says, you can't discern what the issue of your life and of your soul really, really is. You need to heed the Lord. You need the salvation of the Lord Savior. You need salvation through me. And it's right here in front of you. And you don't discern it, and you don't see it. You don't see that you need to be ready to go. You don't understand that you need to be ready to go. But the Lord is preaching there, and no doubt his disciples are truly, they're truly there, and they hear this preaching of the Lord. And we know by going on in the Scriptures that they do hear Him, and that from these disciples that are there, there's discernment that the Lord gives them, and they do cleave to the Lord and cleave to His words. And we see from the book of Acts and ongoing how it is that the Lord's church and His apostles and His disciples, they do grab a hold of that, of serving the Lord and being ready for His return. See, their expectation is that the Lord's just going to come back in a short time. And there in Acts chapter 1, they asked the Lord, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom? They thought He'd come back. They thought that was His coming back, His resurrection. Do we have discernment about the times? Sinner, Do you have discernment from the Word of God and from the message of God that you are a sinner and that you are as estranged from your Lord and that you need Jesus Christ as Savior? Child of God, do you have discernment that Jesus Christ is coming back soon? Are you ready to go? Listen to what he goes on to say. He says, sinner, flee from the wrath to come. When thou goest, verse 58, with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, and if you will, are in the way of life. That's where we all are at. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge. Because once you get hailed to the judge, it's over with. Because what happens? Lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. Sinner, you're in the way of life. You've been given time. You've been given instruction from the Word of God. You're a sinner and you need a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is there as Savior, but if you die in your condition, He is standing there as your adversary. He's the judge. You're guilty.
Right.
And He's going to mete out condemnation, and He's going to mete out judgment in hell and the lake of fire for eternity. You need to get things right.
Yeah.
And the only way that you can is through Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah.
See, the truth of it is, sinner, you're not ready to go. You're not ready to go. Children of God, are we ready to go? Yeah, from the standpoint of our souls, we are. How about our service? May the Lord help us to see that. But you that are here this morning and not saved, you are not ready to go. The Lord, John the Baptist was sent of the Lord, and he preached there in Matthew 3 and Luke 3, flee from the wrath to come. He spoke to those Pharisees and Sadducees that came and said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But John the Baptist preached to sinners that came and came to his baptism. He preached to them to flee from the wrath to come. Well, see, you die without Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You will be appointed your place, your portion with unbelievers. Are you ready to go? Sinner, you're not. Children, we have been delivered. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's read here what the Lord has done so much for us. And may the Lord help us that we be admonished, we be encouraged to look for the return of our Lord, that we be have our loins girt and our lamps burning, that at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be happy to see Him and ready to go with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 10, verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had among you, Paul speaks, and how ye turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven. Are you ready to go? Child of God, are you waiting for His Son from heaven? Are you waiting, not just waiting around, but busy about what the Lord's given you to do? If you're saved and you're not a member of one of the Lord's churches, the command of the Lord is that you be a part of His church. If the Lord has saved your soul, He's ordained it, that is the pattern, that is the way that you serve Him in His church. Not be a freelancer. You that are here without Christ as Savior, the command is for you to repent and believe the gospel. And give testimony of that when the Lord saves you, and be baptized and serve the Lord in His church. He says here, and to wait for His Son, verse 10, from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's done so, hadn't He? To the people, the Lord says, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.